Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Mike Murat, and this is our 11th study in the book of Deuteronomy. We come today to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we pick up our study in verse 21. Lord, we ask that our hearts are good ground, that we would hear your word and understand your word, and that your word would bear fruit in our lives 100-fold. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If you are able, open your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 16 and follow along, because you'll be blessed more if you follow along in your own Bible. Now, we are in the middle of Moses speaking to the Israelites before they enter into the promised land. And he has just restated the Ten Commandments. And let's actually pick up our reading in verse 20. It says, in the future, Moses says to the Israelites, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulation, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Verse 21, tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. In other words, in your explanation to your children, start at the beginning. Start down in Egypt. Make it clear that the Lord was very kind in rescuing us from Egyptian slavery. In other words, let them understand that we obey God first and foremost out of appreciation for his goodness towards us. God is a likable God, one we wish to please. That's why we strive to keep these laws. Tell your children that. Verse 22. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. And the signs and the wonders here in verse 22 refer to the 10 plagues that were sent against Egypt. And they were terrible, as this verse says, terrible as far as the Egyptians were concerned anyway, because they turned that sinful nation into a basket case. Verse 23. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. God took them out of Egypt to bring them into the Holy Land. He took them out to bring them in. Took them out of cruel bondage in Egypt to bring them into a new life in the Holy Land. And that's what Christ does for us today. He delivers us from evil. He delivers us from a life of sin and misery that goes along with it. He brings us into a new life with him in charge, as it ought to be. Verse 24. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. It is always good for people to fear the Lord. A good, healthy fear of God benefits us physically and spiritually and eternally. Verse 25. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he commanded us, that will be our righteousness. And that's absolutely true. It's in the Bible. It's God's word. But notice what verse 25 says. All the law. Keep all the law. As God commands. Not as man sees keeping the law, but keep all the law as God commanded. Meaning this, keep it perfectly, without failing in word, action, attitude, and thought, without failing even once. If they do that, then they will be righteous. And I'll tell you what, anybody who thinks they've done that, they are wrong, because no one has done that. Only Christ kept God's law the way God commanded it. Only he kept the law to perfection. Only Christ is righteous. That's why the only hope of any of us has to receive eternal life and to be righteous before God is to receive Christ. And as a result, have His righteousness credited to our spiritual account. Chapter 7, verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess, and drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, seven nations larger and stronger than you. The nations Israel will replace in the Holy Land are bigger, stronger, and more in number than they. There's just one thing. God is on Israel's side, and that more than evens things up for Israel, gives them a huge advantage. Verse 2. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you, and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them, and show them no mercy. As punishment for their many sins, sins such as murder, and immorality, and idolatry, and incest, the people of the land must be put to death. That is what God says. Put them to death. Execute them. No mercy is to be shown these people who gave no thought to repentance, even though they had many years to repent. There is no mercy, either here in this world or in eternity, for sinners who will not repent. Verse 3, do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons. Do not marry a heathen, God says. And the only exception we'll see later on is if that heathen turns from idols and repents and starts serving the Lord God. Mixed marriages are bad news. Not so much different denominations, that can be a problem, but believers with unbelievers. It is wrong, it is unscriptural, and it leads to trouble. Verse 4. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, and the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. God says, do not marry one of the pagans because they're going to drag you down spiritually. You know, it's hard enough to live for God when battling our own sin nature and the devil without having someone who doesn't care about God as a marriage partner. Verse 5. This is what you are to do to them. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their idols in the fire. In other words, get rid of the idols and get rid of the things connected to idol worship. Lest in a moment of weakness, you become curious and get drawn into participating in that kind of stuff. You know, the lesson for us is, if possible, get rid of the things that tempt you to sin. Don't keep them around. You may be strong enough to avoid the sin right now, but you know, we're not always as strong as we are sometimes. Sometimes there are moments of weakness, and if these things are around, it's easy to fall into sin. Verse 6. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be His people, His treasured possession. Israel is called a holy people, meaning they were called by God to be separate from the rest of the nations, which at that time did not serve God at all. Because they were called to be separate, they had to avoid all idolatry, even the very appearance of it. And that's why God says, smash those things to pieces. Get it out of the holy land that God has given you. Verse 7. The Lord did not set His affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other people. For you were the fewest of all people. God chose them to be His people because He loved them. And here is the amazing thing. There wasn't anything lovable about them. Israel wasn't larger in quantity or better in quality than any other nation. In fact, they were smaller. They were chosen by God to be His people purely as an act of God's grace. Verse 8, "But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath He swore to your forefathers that He brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." God loved them. He loved Israel. But it wasn't because of anything good in them. He loved them because it is God's nature to love. And that's the only explanation for God loving us today. Let's face it. He loves us because it is His nature to love. He doesn't need a reason to love. And it's a good thing He doesn't, because sinful man can't give Him one. Verse 9. "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commands. Unlike the idols they were around in Egypt, or the ones they will find in the land of Canaan, which are false and dead, God is the true and living God," which means that God alone is the only proper object of worship. See, He's driving home this point. Stay away from idolatry, because He knows that they are prone to that sin and will be in the future. Verse 10. "But those who hate Him, He will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate Him." God says, "I will not call for a stay of execution toward those who hate Me. There will be judgment and divine vengeance, and it will happen quickly." Verse 11, "Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give you today." God has set before the Israelites the way of life and the way of death, and the choice really is theirs. Like us, they have a free will. But because God cares, He encourages them to take the easy road and obey His commands. And we'll stop right there for today. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let the beauty of the Lord our God rest upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, until next time, this is Mike Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse, reminding you to stay in the Word and stay in prayer. Until next time, so long, everyone.